Well, we're going to look at a text as we're continuing in the Gospel of John recently. We're coming into John chapter 3. Going to read the first 15 verses, which take us right up to the most famous verse in the Bible, but not looking at that one yet today. We're going to see how this man shows up named Nicodemus, and he actually doesn't even ask Jesus a question to begin, but what Jesus says to him then causes Nicodemus to ask some questions, and he keeps him guessing, as it were. We're going to look briefly at who this man Nicodemus was, and then how Jesus' response to him stirs up these questions about being born again, and then how Jesus, as it were, gives Nicodemus a homework assignment, something to think about, study, and ponder, which I believe Nicodemus actually did. If you have your Bible and would like to follow along, turn to John chapter 3. Starting at verse 1 through verse 15. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your Holy Spirit now to come fresh upon us, to fill us, to bless our minds, our ears, our hearts, to receive what you have for us, Lord, through your word. Give us the understanding that you want for us to understand today about Jesus, about this new birth, about believing in the Son of Man who was lifted up high. God, help us to see and look and believe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, it says, at night, and it says Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a member of the Jewish ruling council. Well, I'm calling Nicodemus an exceptional Pharisee because by and large, as we encounter the Pharisees in the gospel accounts, they are against Jesus. They are wanting to test him, and eventually they are wanting to kill him. Well, Nicodemus is an exception to that, meaning he comes here seeking something. He comes here sincerely, earnestly to actually listen to Jesus and learn more about something. We actually don't even hear why Nicodemus came because Jesus throws him off rather quickly in this discussion. But the Pharisees, we first hear of them in the first chapter of John's Gospel when it says some had been sent from Jerusalem to John the Baptist to discern who he was and actually learn why he's doing what he's doing. Doesn't explain who they were. The Pharisees were teachers of the Torah, God's law, specifically that from the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. They were looked to and looked at as the righteous ones, the clean ones by the first century Jews. The Pharisees, we will read and see that they were considering themselves righteous because they thought they taught the law, they obeyed the letter of the law, and they had actually added all sorts of other laws or rules to God's law that they kept with the same authority as God's word itself. But the people also looked to them in that way, meaning they thought, well, the Pharisees, they are the righteous ones. The word Pharisee itself means separate or separated ones, meaning, again, they were clean, righteous because of their observance and obedience to God's law. Later on, Jesus would say they actually obey man-made rules over and above God's actual law, and that would come later. Well, Nicodemus here is a follower of Jesus. He's seeking him out on his own. We already know he's seen some signs. He says, we know you're a teacher, Rabbi, who's come from God. No one could be doing the signs you are doing unless God was with him. Again, that's all Nicodemus says initially, but he's seeking him out. Why at night? There's been a lot of speculation about why it says he came to Jesus at night. It doesn't explain, but perhaps there was already a little fear, a little, you know, didn't want to be seen talking with Jesus by himself. There's already tension perhaps there. It might have been just simple logistics. He had followed, knew where Jesus was. He wanted to talk to him alone. And here was a chance at night to have this discussion. Well, how do we know that he did follow Jesus beyond chapter 3? Nicodemus will show up in two more scenes in John's Gospel. One is in John chapter 7. The Sanhedrin, that is the Jewish ruling council made up of Pharisees and Sadducees, 70 plus one being the high priest. It says Nicodemus was a member of this ruling council. In John chapter 7, that ruling council wants Jesus arrested. Again, they're already against him. But Nicodemus will stand up toward the end of that chapter on his own and say one thing. He says, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him and hearing his testimony to see what he has been doing? And then the Pharisees and others in the Jewish ruling council turn on him and say, are you from Galilee too? But his defense works at that moment. We also see the other scene where he shows up is after Jesus was lifted high, after he was lifted up on the cross and crucified. In John's Gospel, chapter 19, a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy man, comes to Pontius Pilate and asks if he might bring Jesus' body down from the cross after he has died. And then it says Nicodemus, who had come to Jesus earlier at night and who had stood up for him in John chapter 7, joins Joseph of Arimathea to take Jesus' body down from the cross and anoint it and prepare it for burial. So Nicodemus, behind the scenes throughout the gospel, is following Jesus. Perhaps secretly, again, perhaps not, sometimes as he stood up and defended him. But there he is, an exceptional Pharisee, this man. By the way, his name is Greek. He's a Jewish leader, obviously a Jew, but his name Nicodemus. Nico is connected to the word Nike, which we know as a brand for shoes and athletic gear and all that. And it means, someone probably knows what Nike means, right? Victory, exactly. Nike is a Greek word for victory. It can mean to conquer, you know, in war, to conquer, victory. And then demos, it's related, or comes from the word where we have democracy or demographic. That demo, demos, is from the Greek, means people. So his name could be translated as victorious people, or even victory for the people, or even victory over or of the people, something like that. Nicodemus, that's what his name means. Well, he is called by Jesus in this dialogue a teacher of Israel. Jesus will say, you are Israel's teacher. Again, the people looked up to him, looked to him and what he taught about God's word, about the law. Israel's teacher, and yet here we see he is also a learner. He's not thinking, I have all the answers already, because he comes to Jesus saying, Rabbi, very respectfully, you're the teacher. We know you've come from God because of the signs. Again, we don't actually hear why Nicodemus came. He never asks a question first, because Jesus' response, as we'll look at here, kind of rocks him back. And then he asks questions, which I don't think were the ones that were on his mind when he first came to Jesus. All he says that we have, he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, which is master or teacher, respectful term and title. The other Pharisees, again, often didn't call him rabbi like this. And then he says, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. He sees the signs. He sees God at work. Well, that is all that we hear from Nicodemus before we now hear from Jesus. Again, Nicodemus didn't actually ask a question yet. But it says in verse 3, Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." To see the kingdom of God requires a new birth, Jesus says. Now, I have to pause here as we're in the scene and thinking of Nicodemus. I would really like to know what was on his mind. And then I'd like to see his face and his heart, if you will, when he hears this from Jesus. I think there was a little whiplash here, a little like caught off guard. This isn't what he came for. What is Jesus talking about? He's seen signs. He's seen something relating to God. But now Jesus says to even see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Now, the NIV translates this born again. Other Bibles, I think, say that similarly. But it's significant to note that the Greek word for again, anothen, really means literally from above. That is significant. So it's not, so if I say again, that means if I've done one activity and now I do it again, it means I'm simply repeating what I just did. We went to the Wisconsin Dells a number of years ago, and this guy was doing like little magic acts and entertainment and humor and maybe some juggling, and he did something and people applauded. And he said, "Oh, you like that? I'd do it again." And he did it again. And as long as people kept applauding and laughing, he'd just keep doing the same thing over and over. "You like that? I'll do it again." This isn't what this means. It's not a repetition of the same birth that one has already had. It is a very different birth, literally from above. Although we can tell Nicodemus is thrown off, a little whiplash, because now he sounds not like a teacher of Israel, but like a kid perhaps, or just taking this very literally. He can't even think. He just asks, you know, what's on his mind? How can someone be born when they are old? He was likely an old man himself already. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born again. He didn't catch the nuance. He's thrown off. To be born from above, it's a very different kind of birth from the first birth. This new birth, Jesus is saying then, is of the Spirit. So after that question, Nicodemus says, how can someone be born when they are old? Verse 5, Jesus answered. Well, he doesn't, again, answer him face value literally. He doesn't say, well, you're right. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being born from above. Jesus will now take that whiplash effect and I think kind of bring Nicodemus up into a theological whirlwind here. His mind, his thinking, his heart, what is Jesus talking about? When Jesus answers here for the second time saying, very truly, that's the NIV, the Greek words behind very truly is an actual repetition. It's amen, amen. This is that Hebrew and Greek word that you know, even if you don't know, you know it. It's amen. We say it at the end of a prayer. Jesus says it at the beginning of teaching statements. It can mean this is most certainly true. As Luther would say, it has to do with truth of what he's saying. And Jesus says, truly, truly, very truly, amen, amen. Pay attention. This is truth. He says, I tell you, verse 3, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, the first birth. But the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again or from above. Verse 7, you can hear Jesus. You can hear Jesus. Can you hear Jesus? You know, Jesus is looking at Nicodemus, and we can discern here when Jesus says, you should not be surprised. How is Nicodemus looking at this moment? Surprised. Jesus says, you should not be surprised at my saying. You must be born again. You must be born from above. You must be born anew. And then Jesus gives this analogy between the Spirit and the wind and being born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You know, this didn't just only bring Nicodemus 2,000 years ago up into this theological whirlwind. What is Jesus talking about? It does that today. If you listen to this paragraph that we read here, very truly, amen, amen, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. The Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I think there's an effect more than a light bulb effect going on with Nicodemus here, just to kind of lift him up. What is Jesus? 2 days ago, it was 80 degrees, and it was really, really windy. You probably heard, we say we hear the wind, but again, even that, we're hearing the effect of the wind on a building, on a structure, in the trees, the breeze, you name it. We hear the wind. We don't know exactly where it's coming from. We don't know where it's going. That's what Jesus is saying here. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. In other words, there's a lot you don't know. We can't know. We won't know. We can't explain. Because then Nicodemus, this teacher of Israel, verse 9 says, simply, how can this be? Whatever he came seeking to ask Jesus, we still don't know. Because Jesus has just kind of thrown him off and then thrown him off even more, brought this teacher of Israel back to where he feels like perhaps he's pre-kindergartner again, going, what? How can this be? I don't understand. There is something, though. As a teacher of Israel, not only did he know or would he have known the laws of Moses, he would have known the Old Testament scriptures. He was a learned man. He was a teacher, meaning he would have also known the prophets. And the answer here is not blowing in the wind, although in some ways Jesus is saying that. But the answer, there's one specific scripture in particular that I'm wondering if later Nicodemus didn't re-study or look at this. It's tempting to do a whole side sermon here going back in Ezekiel chapters 36 into 37. I won't do a side sermon. But listen for these words. This is Ezekiel. Listen for the words breath. Listen for the word wind. Listen for the words relating to life and new life. All in here. And the Lord doing this. This is Ezekiel 36, starting at verse 24. I'm just going to do some highlight reading. The Lord says, for I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land from the exile. Oh, and I should mention water and cleanness as well. Other themes here. He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. I'll jump to verse 33. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, on the day I cleanse you from all your sins, cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns. And he goes on into chapter 37. This is a well-known chapter in Ezekiel because it has to do with the Valley of Dry Bones, turned into that song, which I'm not going to sing. But listen to these words again. The hand of the Lord was on me, that's Ezekiel speaking, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. That's always a good answer, by the way. Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Jump to verse 9. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Verse 14, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it. Do you hear all that? I will put my spirit in you, the Lord says, and you will live. Where does this Holy Spirit come from? From above. This is being born again. Dry, dead bones from the first birth leads to fleshly death. Born again from the Spirit, entering, seeing, knowing the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Jesus goes on to Nicodemus and says, I'm speaking to you of earthly things, yet you don't believe. How then if I speak to you of heavenly things, will you believe? And I pause every now and then to think about, among other things, in heaven, what language or languages will be spoken and heard in heaven. I think there's going to be a heavenly language that we haven't heard yet. You know, I know there's some people here, and I've heard this before in this church, in this history, yes. Well, people say, well, it's probably Norwegian. Or, like in the book of Acts, chapter 2, all the languages, and yet we all hear in the way we understand. English. Spanish, list goes on. If we go back to the Bible, of course, the Old Testament initially, originally written in Hebrew, and then there's spoken Aramaic that comes from the Old and into the New, and then the New Testament written initially, originally in Greek. God's languages, they're all, you know. But I wonder about that, because Jesus is saying, I'm speaking to you in earthly terms, you know, earthly pictures, and yet even with that, Nicodemus is, yeah. And we, too, are kind of spun up. What does this all mean? We want to know the answer. Well, whatever Nicodemus was seeking, he got more than he bargained for. And Jesus says, we speak of what we know. And there's a subtle echo there. Because when Nicodemus came to him, he said, Rabbi, we know. And Jesus is saying, you know, do you really know what you think you know? I'm going to teach you and show you more than you have ever known, if you listen and follow, more than you've ever known. And then he gives what I'm calling a homework assignment, because Nicodemus is a teacher, a studier. You can tell he's continued to study, and now he's seeking out the one who he's seen signs. He recognizes God is at work with this man, this teacher, Jesus, and he seeks him out for something. Jesus knows his heart. He knows him already. He's giving him more than he bargained for, more than he was probably seeking that night for sure. And yet here, I think, verses 14 and 15, Jesus gives him something to latch on to a little bit and to take home and study, this homework assignment. Verse 13, Jesus says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. By the way, there was, 20 years ago, give or take, there was kind of a whole spate of books that came out about people that had gone into heaven and come back and wrote a book about it. Heaven is for real. By the way, heaven is for real. That is true. The boy who went to heaven and came back. Jesus says right here, no one actually has gone into heaven and come back. except the Son of Man who came from heaven. There might have been visions, you know. Some of those stories just weren't true. They came out later. So heaven is for real, but we know that from the Bible, not from someone who said, I've been there. They actually haven't yet. If they're still here, they haven't been there because they're not coming back in that way. So anyway, no one has gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, Jesus says. The Son of Man, speaking of himself. And now verse 14. And here's where I think this verse, what he says, brings Nicodemus at least back to something, okay, I can focus on this. Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. That actually settles in with Nicodemus because he knows that story. It's back in Numbers chapter 1, 21. It's a short account, so I'll read it just so you hear it. Numbers 21, verse 4, they, the Israelites, traveled from Mount Or along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses, their leader, and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die? In the wilderness, there is no bread, there is no water. We detest this miserable food. Verse 6, then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake, put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and they looked at the bronze snake, they lived. Nicodemus knew that story. Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, 1,500 years earlier, Nicodemus is like, oh, okay, what does that have to do with being born again, which he just talked about, and all these different things? Part of the homework assignment now is to connect that bronze snake and what happened with being born anew. How does that connect? Then Jesus goes on, so the Son of Man who came from heaven, he just said, must be lifted up on earth, as it were. Part of the homework again. This is the third time in John's Gospel that Jesus has used this term, Son of Man, referring to himself, the one now who came from heaven, and the one, the Son of Man, who must be lifted up. And in the back of Nicodemus' mind already, connecting the snake in the wilderness, now with the Son of Man, a future event, how does that connect? What does that mean? And then Jesus goes on, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him, in the Son of Man who has been lifted up. Nicodemus, I am confident, studied, meditated on, thought about that connection. And we know he was there when Jesus was lifted up on the cross and helped Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus' body down. We don't read about Nicodemus again after that. I'm fairly confident he believed. He had tracked. He had followed. He had studied. He wanted to learn. In Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, God says, the Lord says, you will seek me and find me if you seek me with all your heart. Anyone who seeks the Lord with all their heart, as I believe Nicodemus was, anyone who seeks the truth and continues with all their heart, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. If they keep seeking and they want to know the truth with all their heart, they will find Jesus. Well, those snakes, they were venomous, they were poisonous, they bit the people because of their sin. By the way, how did God answer that prayer? The people said, pray that God would take away the poisonous snakes. Did God take away the poisonous snakes? He did not. God answers prayer not in the way we, well, probably usually want him to. Again, he keeps us guessing, but he provided a way. He provided a way for them to be saved, in that case, from the poison that was in their bodies. Jesus is saying, I am the way to provide a way for you to be saved from the poison in you that's in all people, Nicodemus. Sin. Sin. This cleansing needs to be from sin, and there's only one way. It's not through observing the law, as the Pharisees thought. It's through looking to the Son of Man who is lifted up on a pole, if you will, on a cross, that all who look with faith and believe, that venom of sin is put on Him and taken from you, that you may live. By the way, this is the first time in John's Gospel that Jesus uses this term eternal life. Not just life, not just life. Eternal life, the kingdom of God, born from above, born again of God. What are you seeking today? What question would you have for Jesus? Well, again, likely He might not answer you directly like you'd want the direct, simple, plain answer, but He will answer better and more deeply and give you some homework to think about. And it all then points back to Him. He is the answer. He is the way. He is our salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. And Lord, I am still curious about what was on Nicodemus' mind as he sought Jesus out that night. What was the question? There was a question, I'm confident. And it wasn't, how must I be born again? Because he was thrown off, Jesus, by Your responses. Lord, we have questions today, and yet we get caught up in a whirlwind and confused even, and yet if we continue to seek You through that, You simply show us Yourself, and You bring us back to the cross, the true answer that we all need to come back to and look to You lifted up for our sins, the poison in us that You save us from because it was put into You on the cross to remove it from us. Lord, help us keep our eyes fixed on You, focused on You, and lift You high in our praises, in our prayers, in our thoughts. Thank You. Help us believe, and we pray for this world, Lord, people who have not looked to You, who don't think they need to, who don't think they're sinners who are eternally condemned because of their sin. God, help them see Jesus and look to You and believe. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.